The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Amen. We join to sing Alleluia, Alleluia. So let us pray. O God, we meet together to celebrate your victory over death and to praise you for our salvation through the cross and through the resurrection of Jesus. We delight in your good news. We come now to the risen one. We lift our eyes to see him. We recognize his glory. We thank you for all that has been done through him. We confess that there have been times when we have allowed the wonder of these things to slip from our minds. We have been so focused on the things of earth, on the squabbling, the desires of the things we must have, we're sorry. We ask that you would forgive us. We recognize that in you there is forgiveness for all. So cleanse us. For we would praise you with clean lips and pure hearts. With your spirit burning brightly within us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, for the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes the variety of the accounts in the scriptures, but particularly around about the whole of the Good Friday and Easter time, the lack of a one single clear, and then this happened, and then she appeared, and then he did that, lack of one narrative makes people anxious. And people say, oh, well, it's inconsistent in the text. And what I want you to remember is that that is what eyewitness accounts are like. He had a mustache. No, he didn't. There was two of them. No, there wasn't. That's how it is. If you've ever given a witness statement, that's how it is. So here we have the account as it is recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew. And as a special treat to all of us, Kathy Seymour, Church Secretary, will read it to us.
So it's Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, as Sunday morning was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they trembled and became like dead men. The angel spoke to the women. You must not be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised just as he said. Come here and see the place where he was lying. Go quickly now and tell his disciples. He has been raised from death, and now he is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. Remember what I have told you. So they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, Peace be with you. They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Do not be afraid, Jesus said to them. Go and tell my brothers and go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Thanks be to God.
I don't know whether you noticed it, but I really did in the reading and the hearing of it. But four times in that scripture, might be more, four times in that scripture we get, don't be afraid. That whoever it was, this spiritual being, whether it was Jesus or an angel, they could see that people were afraid and they left, even though they were afraid, afraid. We live in times where many people are afraid. Fear is a prevailing narrative of our times. People are afraid, so they want to make their country great again. They want to build walls to keep people out. They want to do away with immigrants because people are afraid, because there's only so much and we have to keep the pie for ourselves because people are afraid. Fear is a highly disabling emotion. Of course, there is the fear of death. Of course, there is the fear of what comes next. Of course, there is the fear of transition from middle age into old age. In fact, let's be honest, from youth into middle age, that's all transitions come with fear. Though we as this company might be beyond that fear. But the fear of the transitions of life, yes, there are fears in that. But there's also the fear of the living of every day. How often have you been in circumstances where you knew that you had to do something, and because of conventional British life, you just weren't brave enough? You knew that what we needed to be saying is, look, I think you're fantastic. Give me a kiss. I love you. Grab them. And just say, look, I know you feel really rubbish, but I think you're wonderful. I think you're wonderful. I think what you're doing is fantastic. You're really great. But hey, man, we don't do things like that. That's just not happening. And because we were fearful, the moment was lost. I would confess to you, brothers and sisters, that the thing that happens to me is the Holy Spirit goes, you need to pray with them. You should pray with them. Pray with them now. Pray with them now. Do it, do it, do it. And I go, oh, no, please. I don't want to. Well, do you know what? As I get older, I have to tell you, I think this is quite frightening for you people. As I get older, so I get braver. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, yeah. So I find myself in corridors praying with people or young kids praying with them. Yeah, let me pray with you. I'll just, hey, I don't care. I described myself to somebody the other day as a prayer prostitute. I'm just going to pray. I'm an indiscriminate prayer, promiscuous prayer. That's me. And so that's my story of my fearfulness. It's not, I'm not, please, that battle is mine too. And isn't it interesting that when we encounter the holy, fear is a normal response. If you can deal with the things of God as things that are everyday and you are used to them, I want to say to you that what you are dealing with is not the things of God. You have become fixated with the outside of holy things. If it never shocks you, if it never cuts you right deep down inside you, if it never surprises you and makes you shaken, then what you are dealing with is not the things of God. Awe-inspiring. Majesty, beyond words. That's a theme that you get in this story. It's just too much. I haven't got the words for it, so I'm writing this. And you will notice also that fear, do you remember fear, Christmas time? The message from the angels, don't be afraid, to the shepherds, to Mary. So that awe-inspiring. So maybe we need to develop some practices. Maybe we need to allow ourselves to be shaken. Maybe when somebody says something that irritates us, maybe when we have a sense of the Holy Spirit nudging us, and maybe it is real, maybe it's not indigestion, and maybe the Lord is calling us to be God's brave people. 591. We'll have to, you'll have to use your hymn books. Oh, thank you, sister. 591. Have a look at your hymn book. 591. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. We're going to sing 591, Tony. Is that okay? Thank you very much. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. Have a seat. Let's join together to pray. Let's pray. Loving God, we hear so many things that frighten us. The squaring up between North Korea and the US. The reshaping of Britain as it is presented by the media. Alongside the changes in our world and the movement of people. So that we pray for those places in our world where people are crying out in pain and fear. For those people who are fearful about their jobs, their paid employment. For those people that are fearful about the whole range of calls that are on them. How are they going to manage it all? How are they going to do it all? their roles as parents and grandparents, as neighbours, as friends, doing what they said they were going to do, earning their living. Lord, we pray. For those people that are fearful because they are becoming increasingly ill. For those who are fearful because somebody is coming to the end of their life. For those who are fearful because they're used to knowing and planning. Used to having things organized. Used to knowing what happens next, and suddenly it's not like that anymore. From living with planning, suddenly forced to live by faith, and it's new and it's scary. Risen Lord, may we know the reality of Easter hope in our lives. The healing power of your Holy Spirit. Take each one of us beyond our fear. And we pray in the name of the risen Lord Jesus. For the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Let's continue our worship as we make our offering. It is a sign that we know everything comes from you. It is a sign that we offer the people that we are. We bring this money, the ways that we have earned it, the skills have come from you, the time is your gift to us. This bread, this wine, symbols of your gift to us, of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Jesus lives. Thy terrors now, O death, can no longer fear make us frightened. We join to sing. Jesus lives, thy terror. Come to this table where the living Christ offers us bread broken for our journeying and wine poured out for our tears. Share together in this meal where loss finds comfort in promise and despair is transformed in hope. Whoever you are, whatever you bring, hear the risen Christ call your name and accept God's invitation to new life. And hear the narrative of this story, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So in the name of the Lord Jesus and following his example, we take bread, we take wine, and we give thanks. So let us pray. Easter God, we bring our praise and our thanks. You take the pain of our Good Fridays, the watching of suffering and the waiting for death. You transform our helplessness into the fragile beginnings of hope. You take the bleakness of our Easter Saturdays, the weariness of defeat and desolation, and transform our despair into the will and courage to go on. You take the grieving of Easter Sunday morning, the fearful approach to the tomb, and transform our bewilderment into breathless excitement of new life. God of loss and love, we give you thanks for these signs of broken bread and poured out wine. May they speak to us of the everyday made holy, of oppression turned to freedom and justice, of new life dancing in our veins. May we not cling to what is past, but answer joyfully to the calling of our names, to live your risen life in a world you have made new. For the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The body of Christ.
blood of Christ. Let us pray.
Easter God, you have met us in bread and wine and surprised us with your joy. Send us out into the world dancing with delight and with alleluias as our song. May we share your justice, your praise, and your good news. Lord, we pray. Amen. So our final hymn, Good Christians All Rejoice and Sing. So may the risen Christ reign in our hearts. May the Comforter inspire and challenge us. And may the God of glory be with us always. Thanks be to God. Amen.